a geometric figure that was white-bordered and centered with black, formed and dissolved and formed again. I have an impression of spectacles that were common in the United States, during the war, hosts of persons arranging themselves in living patterns, flags, crosses, and in one instance, in which thousands were engaged, in the representation of an enormous Liberty Bell. Astronomers have thought of trying to communicate with Mars or the Moon by means of great geometric constructions placed conspicuously, but there is nothing so attractive to attention as change, and a formation that could appear and disappear would enchant the geometric with the dynamic. That the units of the changing compositions that covered Lin were the Lunarians themselves, that Lin was terraced hosts of the inhabitants of the Moon standing upon the ridges of their Cheops of the Serene Sea, some of them dressed in white and standing in a border, arft some of them dressed in black, centering upon the apex, or the dark material of the apex left clear for the contrast, all of them unified in a hope of conveying an impression of the geometric, as the product of design, and distinguishable from the topographic, to the shining god that makes the stars of their heavens marginal. It is a period of great activity or of conflicting ideas and purposes upon the Moon, new and experimental demonstrations, but also, of course, the persistence of the old. In the Astronomical Register, 5-114, Thomas G. Elgar writes that upon the 9th of April, 1867, he was surprised to see, upon the dark part of the Moon, a light like a star of the 7th magnitude, at 7:30 p.m. It became fainter, and looked almost extinguished at 9 o'clock. Mr. Elgar had seen lights upon the Moon before, but never before a light so clear, too bright to be overlooked by the most careless observer. May 7, 1867, the beacon-like light of Aristarchus observed by Temple, of Marseilles, when Aristarchus was upon the dark part of the Moon, Astro. Reg. 5-220. Upon the night of June 10, 1867, Daw saw three distinct, roundish, black spots near Sulpicius Gallus, which is near Lin. When looked for upon the 13th, they had disappeared, the student, 1-261. August 6, 1867. And this earth in the sky of the Moon, smooth and bland and featureless earth, or one of the scenes that make it divine and appalling jaws of this earth, as seemed to be rims of more or less parallel mountain ranges, still shining in sunlight, but surrounded by darkness. And, upon the Moon, the assembling of the chiaroscuroans, or the lunar communicationists who seek to be intelligible to this earth by means of lights and shades, patterned upon Lin by their own forms and costumes. The Great Pyramid of Lin, at night upon the Moon, it stands out as a bold black triangularity pointing to this earth. It slowly suffuses white the upward drift of white-clad forms, upon the slopes of the pyramid. The jaws of this earth seem to munch, in variable light. There is no other response. Devotions are the food of the gods. Upon August 6, 1867, Buckingham saw upon Lin, which was in darkness, a rising oval spot, report BA, 1867-7. In October, 1867, Lin was seen as a convex white spot, report BA, 1867-8. Also, it may be that the Moon is not inhabited, and is not habitable. There are many astronomers who say that the Moon has virtually no atmosphere, because when a star is passed over by the Moon, the star is not refracted, according to them. See Clerk's History of Astronomy, p. 264, that, basing his calculations upon the fact that a star is never refracted out of place when occulted by the Moon, Professor Comstock, of Washburn Observatory, had determined that this Earth's atmosphere is 5,000 times as dense as the Moon's. I did think that in this secondary survey of ours we had pretty well shaken off our old opposition. The astronomers, however, with something of the kindliness that one feels for renewed meeting with the familiar, here we are at home with the same old kind of demonstrations, the basing of laborious calculations upon something that is not so. See Index of Monthly Notices, RAS. Many instances of stars that have been refracted out of place when occulted by the Moon. See the Observatory, 24-210, 313, 315, 345, 414, English mechanic, 23-197, 279, 26-229, 52 index, atmosphere, 81-60, 84-161, 85-108. In the year 1821, Gruithuisen announced that he had discovered a city of the moon. He described its main thoroughfare and branching streets. In 1826, he announced that there had been considerable building, and that he had seen new streets. This formation, which is north of the crater Schroeder, has often been examined by disagreeing astronomers, for a sketch of it, in which a central line and radiating lines are shown, see the English mechanic, 18-638. There is one especial object upon the moon that has been described and photographed and sketched so often that I shall not go into the subject. For many records of observations, see the English mechanic and L. Astronomy. It is an object shaped like a sword, near the crater Bird. Anyone with an impression of the transept of a cathedral, may see the architectural here. Or it may be a mound similar to the mounds of North America that have so logically been attributed to the mound builders. In a letter, published in the Astronomical Register, 20-167, Mr. Birmingham calls attention to a formation that suggests the architectural upon the moon, a group of three hills in a slightly acute angled triangle, and connected by three lower embankments. There is a geometric object, or marking, shaped like an X, in the crater Eratos thence, Psi America Sup, 59-24, 469, striking symbolic looking thing or sign, or attempt by means of something obviously not topographic, to attract attention upon this earth, in the crater Plinius, Eng Mech, 35-34, reticulations, like those of a city's squares, in Plato, Eng Mech, 64-253, and there is a structural-looking composition of angular lines in Gassendi, Eng Mech, 101-466. Upon the floor of Latrobe are six or seven spots arranged in the form of the Greek letter gamma, Eng Mech, 101-47. This arrangement may be of recent origin, having been discovered January 31, 1915. The Greek letter makes difficulty only for those who do not want to think easily upon this subject. For a representation of something that looked like a curved wall upon the moon, see L. Astronomy, 1888-110. As to appearances like viaducts, see L. Astronomy, 1885-213. The lunar craters are not in all instances the simple cirques that they are commonly supposed to be. I have many different impressions of some of them. I remember one sketch that looked like an owl with a napkin tucked under his beak. However, it may be that the general style of architecture upon the moon is Byzantine, very likely, or not so likely, domed with glass, giving the dome effect that has so often been commented upon. So then the little nearby moon and it is populated by Lilliputians. However, our experience with agreeing ideas having been what it has been, we suspect that the Lunarians are giants. Having reasonably determined that the moon is 100 miles in diameter, we suppose it is considerably more or less. A group of astronomers had been observing extraordinary lights in the lunar crater Plato. The lights had definite arrangement. They were so individualized that Burt and Elgar, and the other selenographers, who had combined to study them, had charted and numbered them. They were fixed in position, but rose and fell in intensity. It does seem to me that we have data of one school of communicationists after another coming into control of efforts upon the moon. At first our data related to single lights. They were extraordinary, and they seemed to me to have been signals, but there seemed to be nothing of the organization that now does seem to be creeping into the fragmentary material that is the best that we can find. The group lights in Plato were so distinctive, so clear, and even brilliant, that if such lights had ever shone before, it seems that they must have been seen by the Schroeders, Gruithuisens, Beers, and Madlers, who had studied and charted the features of the moon. For several of Gledhill's observations, from which I derive my impressions of these lights, see Report BA, 1871-80, I can only liken them to the small disks of stars, seen in the transit instrument, just like small stars in the transit instrument, upon a windy night. In August and September, 1869, occurred a notable illumination of the spots in Group I. It was accompanied by a single light upon a distant spot. February and March, 1870, illumination of another group. April 17, 1870, another illumination in Plato, but back to the first group. As to his observations of May 10 to 12, 1870, Burt gives his opinion that the lights of Plato were not effects of sunlight. Upon the 13th of May, 1870, there was an extraordinary display. According to Burt, 27 lights were seen by Pratt, and 28 by Elgar, but only 4 by Gledhill, in Brighton. Atmospheric conditions may have made this difference, or the lights may have run up or down a scale from 4 to 28. As to independence of sunlight, Pratt says, Report BA, 1871-88, as to this display, that only the fixed, charted points so shown, and that other parts of the crater were not illuminated, as they would have been to an incidence common throughout. In Pratt's opinion, and, I think, in the opinion of the other observers, these lights were volcanic. It seems to me that this opinion arose from a feeling that there should be something of an opinion. The idea that the lights might have been signals was not expressed by any of these astronomers that I know of. I note that, though many observers were, at this time, concentrating upon this one crater, there are no records findable by me of such disturbance of detail as might be supposed to accompany volcanic action. The clear little lights seem to me to have been anything but volcanic.